Blog Talk Radio.
I'm doing fine. I'm good.
I am too. I am thankful. I am grateful. And I am blessed to be with you again this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And all I can say is it is a great word this morning. We got some word coming out of Numbers chapter 33 and 34. We also have a great psalm in Proverbs. Our psalm this morning, it's coming out of the 35th Psalm, verses 9 through 16, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 2, and Mark chapter 15, verses 1 through 24 is what we have this morning. And all I can say is, all right now, because the word that God gave is like late, early morning was, it is, as you say. You know, Jesus didn't miss words. He didn't have time to piddle. He didn't have time to go into a disputation about who he was, that he came from heaven, that he came to this earth, and that he came to save the souls of mankind. He didn't have time for all of that. He came for a purpose. He came for a reason, and he said what he had to say, and he was done. It is as you say. Are you the king of the Jews? It is as you say. He didn't have time for other foolishness. And we don't have time for foolishness. We got to do and say what we have to say. It is as you say. And it is as he said, that if my people who are called by my name, we've got to learn how to humble ourselves and pray. We got to repent. We got to forget, you know, change from who we were, wicked and unadulterated. Every day we see lie upon lie upon lie. And in our word on yesterday, in our Proverbs, you know, it told us that whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. But he who hates correction is stupid. And we don't want to be stupid. We want to be able to be corrected. We want to know who we are and what we have to do. And we want to do what we do for the Lord. It's not about us. It is truly about Jesus. And, you know, and in our word also on yesterday, when we were in our Psalms, it said this in our 34th Psalm, verse 13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Jesus didn't speak evil and he didn't speak deceit. He said what he had to say and that was it. It is what you say. I am the king of the Jews, and I don't have to explain myself to these people who have beat me, spit upon me, treated me like I was dirt, you know, scourged me, you know, and that is like whips with sharp objects on the end, which means they tore up his back before he ever made it to the cross. He was a bloody mess when he came before Pilate because they had secretly gone in today's vernacular, they hate Jesus. They hate him. They beat him down. but he wasn't beat down. And that's what we have to say. Whatever we go through, we are never beat down. Because when we have the Savior, when we allow his light to shine, everything else falls into place. And I have a prayer this morning, Mother, as we start our show and go into our prayer. And it says, live on purpose. We got to live on purpose. And it says, the Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. Proverbs 16:4 ESV version. And if we go into our another version of this word, I just want to go there. And we're going to go to Proverbs. I got my big Bible, Mother. The one that I pull out that has everything in it. New King James, NLT, NIV, King James, got it all. Sometimes you need to see more than one version of a word to get it in context. And I believe that the word of God should always be in context, because we already know that God has given us an understanding that the enemy is going to come and he's going to try to take this word and switch it around. But the word of God in King James says, the Lord has made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. And what New King James says, the Lord has made all for himself, yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. And as we go into the NIV, it says, the Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. You know, even the wicked for the day of disaster. And as the prayer goes, Creator God, everything that was made by you was created for a purpose. Every living thing has value. My life is not an accident, nor was it given to me to roll through living on chances. I believe that my life has purpose, and I want to live it intentionally. I am so grateful that you don't leave me to drown in the midst. It's a journey on path that leads through different terrains. I cannot avoid the arid places, and I would not want to miss the springs along the way. Living on purpose with you is to live aligned with your kingdom and its values, with the law of love. How could I lose when I don't know which way to take at a fork in the road? I will look to you and feast on the fruit of the Spirit, knowing that you are with me no matter which way I turn. My intentions are set on knowing you in this life and on living for you. Be my guide, my closest friend. And the question as we pray, where do you find purpose in your life? Heavenly Father God, I come to you this morning with a humble heart, asking you, Lord God, to fill us up. Fill us up that whatever we speak what you tell us to speak. Lord God, increase as we decrease. Lord, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. Lord God, let this word go over the airways and the byways, that someone who needs to hear it will hear it this morning, that this word will touch their heart if they do not know you as their Lord and Savior, as their Father God, as their friend, as the great Creator who you are, God. We're asking you, Lord, to guide and lead us, that this word will touch hearts, minds, and souls. In the precious and holy name of Jesus, we ask you, Lord, as we repent, forgive us for anything we have said and thought in word or in deed against the divine majesty, Lord. We ask forgiveness and ask you to give us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us, God, that we speak what you say and do what you do. In Jesus' name, Lord, we lift up this word. Again, may it touch our heart, touch our mind, touch our spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life, I can only say thank you, Lord. And as we go forth this morning in our word today, we are coming out of Numbers again, chapter 33 and chapter 34. And I am excited because this is a great word, because understand, we are about to go into the book of Deuteronomy. And when we go into Deuteronomy, we are getting ready to get to the promised land. God is putting everything in. It's going to give some reminders. But as we get ready to end this book of Numbers, which gave us the numbers of the children of Israel, it is a census of who they are, where they're going, and what they need to do. And it lets us know that all the folks who was doing the dirt back in the day, who chose to be a 10 instead of a 2, lost their life in the wilderness. And now this generation is young. It was the people that were under the age of 20 that are going into the promised land. All those that were above died in the wilderness. So we're looking at 40-year-olds. We're looking at babies and 20-year-olds. And we're looking at Joshua and Caleb, who were older, but they are just as vibrant as they were in their youth. And so as we go into the word, it tells us, and we also know that as we read this word, that God has already appointed Joshua to be Moses' successor. And this is what it says. These are the journeys of the children of Israel, who went out of the land of Egypt by their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord, and these are their journeys according to their starting point. They departed from Ramesses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, on the day after Passover. The children of Israel went out with boldness in the sight of all the Egyptians, for the Egyptians were burying all their firstborn, whom the Lord had killed among them, also on their gods. The Lord had executed judgment. Then the children of Israel moved from Ramesses and camped at Succoth. They departed from Succoth and camped at Etham, which is on the edge of the wilderness. They moved from Etham and turned back to Pi Hahiroth, which is east of Baal Zephon, and they camped near Migdol. They departed from before Hahiroth and passed through the midst of the sea into the wilderness, went 3 days' journey in the wilderness of Edom, and camped at Morah. They moved from Morah and came to Elam. At Elam were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, so they camped there. They moved from Elam and camped by the Red Sea. They moved from the Red Sea and camped in the wilderness of Sin. They journeyed from the wilderness of Sin and camped at Daphakah. And they departed from Daphakah and camped at Alush. They moved from Alush and camped at Rephidim, where there was no water for the people to drink. They departed from Rephidim and camped in the wilderness of Sinai. They moved from the wilderness of Sinai and camped at Kibroth Hattaavah. They departed from Kibroth Hattaavah and camped at Hazeroth. They departed from Hazeroth and camped at Rithma, and departed from Rithma and camped at Ramon Perez. They departed from Ramon Perez and camped at Libna. They moved from Libna and camped at Risha. They journeyed from Risha and camped at Kilathan. And they went from Kilathan and camped at Mount Shepher. They moved from Mount Shepher and camped at Herodai. They moved from Herodai and camped at Helot, and they moved from Mikalot and camped at Tihath, and they moved from Tihath and camped at Tira. They moved from Tira and camped at Mitka, and they went from Mitka and camped at Hashmona, and they departed from Hashmona and camped at Misarath, and they departed from Misarath and camped at Benai Kana, Ta, Zaka, Zakan, and they moved from Benai Zakan and camped at Hor Hegadad. they moved from Horakigabad and came at Jethbanah. They moved from Jethbanah and camped at Abranah. And they departed from Abranah and camped at Ezan Geber. And they moved from Ezan Geber and camped in the wilderness of Zin, which is Kadesh. And they moved from Kadesh and camped at Mount Hor on the boundary of the land of Edom. Then Aaron the priest went up to Mount Hor at the command of the Lord and died there in the 40th year after the children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt on the first day of the fifth month. Aaron was 123 years old when he died on Mount Hor. King of Arad, the Canaanite, who dwelt in the south in the land of Canaan, heard of the coming of the children of Israel. So they departed from Mount Hor and camped at Zalmona. And they departed from Zalmona and camped at Punon. They departed from Punon and camped at Oboth. They departed from Oboth and camped at Ajah Abram at the border of Moab. They departed from Ajah and camped at Dabon Gad. They moved from Dabon Gad and camped at Ammon Dabalathim. And they moved from Ammon Dabalathim and camped in the mountains of Abram before Nebo. They departed from the mountains of Abram and camped in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. They camped by the Jordan from Beth Jesmoth as far as Abel Acacia Grove in the plains of Moab. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, destroy all their engraved stones, destroy all their molded images, and demolish all their high places. You shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it, for I have given you the land to possess. And you shall divide the land by lot as an inheritance among your families. To the larger you shall give a larger inheritance, and to the smaller you shall give a smaller inheritance. Everyone's inheritance shall be whatever falls to him by lot. You shall inherit according to the tribes of your fathers. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. Moreover shall be that I will do to you as I thought to do to them. Wow. And we have a life lesson from chapter 33, verse 55. If you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land, they shall harass you. The Lord warned Israel what would happen if they failed to drive out all the inhabitants of the land as he had commanded. And in this too, his word proved true. Everything that God says will happen, happen. Everything God says he will do, he will do. And again, for those that are just joining us, this is Moving Forward, and you are listening to Blog Talk Radio. And our call-in number is 213-943-3597. As we go into chapter 34 of the book of Numbers, it says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall to you as an inheritance. The land of Canaan to its boundaries, your southern border shall be from the wilderness of Zin along the border of Edom. Then your southern border shall extend eastward to the end of the Salt Sea. Your border shall turn from the southern side of Accent Arab, Iraq, I'm sorry, Akrabim. Continue to Zin and be on the south of Kadesh Myrna. Then it shall go on to Hazar Adar and continue to Asmon. The border shall turn from Asmon to the brook of Egypt, and it shall end at the sea. As for the western border, you shall have the great sea for a border. This shall be your western border. And this shall be your northern border. From the great sea you shall mark out your border line to Mount Hor. From Mount Hor you shall mark out your border to the entrance of Hamath. And then the direction of the border shall be toward Zedad. The border shall proceed to Zaphon, and it shall end at Hazar Enon. This shall be your northern border. You shall mark out your eastern border from Hazar Enon to Shaphan. The border shall go down from Shaphan to Biblah on the east side of Ain. The border shall go down and reach to the eastern side of the Sea of Shinnereth. The border shall go down along the Jordan, and it shall end at the Salt Sea. This shall be your land with its surrounding boundaries. Then Moses commanded the children of Israel, saying, this is the land which you shall inherit by lot, which the Lord has commanded to give to the nine tribes and to the half tribe. For the tribe of the children of Reuben, according to the house of their fathers, and the tribe of the children of Gad, according to the house of their fathers, have received their inheritance, and the half tribe of Manasseh has received its inheritance. The two tribes and the half tribe have received their inheritance on this side of the Jordan, across from Jericho, eastward toward the sunrise. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, these are the names of the men who shall divide the land among you as an inheritance: Eleazar the priest, and Joshua the son of Nun. And you shall take one leader of every tribe to divide the land for the inheritance. These are the names of the men from the tribes of Judah: Caleb, the son of Jephunneh; from the tribe of the children of Simeon, Shamuel, the son of Aminhad; from the tribe of Benjamin, Eladad, the son of Cheslon, a leader; from the tribe of the children of Dan, Dikad, the son of Joli; from the sons of Joseph, a leader; from the tribe of the children of Manasseh, Hananel, the son of Ephod; and a leader from the tribe of the children of Ephraim, Kemuel, the son of Shephatah; a leader from the tribe of the children of Zebulun, Elizaphan, the son of Parnak; a leader from the tribe of the children of Issachar, Pilatiel, the son of Ezan; a leader from the tribe of the children of Asher, Elihud, the son of Shalom; and a leader from the tribe of the children of Naphtali, Pedahiel, the son of Ammihud. These are the sons the Lord commanded to divide the inheritance among the children of Israel in the land of Canaan. And it tells us in chapter 34, verse 2, as a life lesson: this is the land that shall fall to you as an inheritance, the land of Canaan to its boundaries. God was always giving the Israelite boundaries for good reason. By establishing defensible borders, the Israelites knew what land they were responsible to manage and what was dangerous enemy territory. In the same way, God commands shows us what we're accountable to him for, and they also safeguard us from the enemy territory of sin. God's boundaries always protect us. God's boundaries always protect us. All we have to do is trust in the Lord. And though doesn't the word say to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding? In all our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. That is the word of God, and we must follow it. We follow the word of God to its entirety, because God loves us and he wants the best for us. We trust God, and we trust him in everything we do and in everything we say. Mother Valerie, I turn it back over to you as we go into our psalm this morning, the 35th psalm. For those that are just joining us, we are in the 35th psalm, verses 9 through 16, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 2, and Mark chapter 15. And I turn it over to Mother Valerie. And again,
Good morning. Thank you
for listening to Blog Talk Radio. Again, this is Moving Forward. And our call-in number is 213-943-3597. Now I turn it over to you. Good morning again, Mother Valerie.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, people of God. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. The temperature today is 26 degrees. A bit chilly out there, so make sure you wrap up if you're going out this morning. Psalms 35:9-16. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. My soul shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who's like you? Delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him. Yes, the poor and the needy from him who plunders him. Furious witnesses rise up. They ask me things that I do not know. They reward me evil for good to the sorrow of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. I paced about as though he were my friend or brother. I bowed down humbly as one who mourns for his mother. But in my adversity, they rejoiced and gathered together. Attackers gathered against me. I did not know it, tore at me and did not cease. With ungodly mockers at feast, they gashed at me with their teeth. Proverbs 12:2. A good man obtains favor from the Lord. A lot of times when you hear people say, oh, I got favor. They're talking about favor. Most of them are talking about favor from the Lord. And you really know when you have favor from God. You really do know it. But a man of wicked intentions, he will condemn. A good man. What is a good man? A good man is a man that follow God and do the things that God wants him to do. Mark 15:1-24. Immediately. In the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus. They led him away and delivered him to Pilate. Then Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? He answered and said to him, it is as you say. And that's the title for today. It is as you say. Chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, do you answer nothing? How many times they testify against you? But still Jesus answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. You know, when people are lying on you and saying all kind of crazy things about you like they did about Jesus, you don't have to say anything. You just keep your mouth shut. You don't have to say one word to defend yourself. The truth will defend you in the end. Everything will come out. Truthfully, in the end, people will lie on you. The hearts are deceitful. The Bible said the very heart is deceitful, and they'll lie on you for no reason. Now at the feast, he was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them, whomever they requested. And there was one named Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow rebels that had committed murder in their rebellion. Then the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. But Pilate answered them, saying, you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had handed them over because of envy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd so that he should rather release Barabbas to them. Barabbas is a murderer. Pilate answered and said to them again, what then do you want me to do with him whom you call the king of the Jews? Cried out again, crucify him. Pilate said to him, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out the more, crucify him. So Pilate wanted to gratify the crowd, release Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had been scourged him to be crucified. You know what they did? They beat him with 39 stripes, and the healing of the nation, we get healed by his stripes. You know, that's amazing. God is just, everything he does to me is amazing. Jesus gets killed for our sins. He gets beat 39 times for our healing. It's just amazing how God do things. God is not like man. God will do things the way we do things. And, you know, another thing I find that is totally amazing, the birth of a child. You know how a baby is in your belly for 9 months and then comes out of the vagina? I mean, to me, that's amazing. A woman can stretch like that. God is amazing. Everything about us, we're made in the image of Almighty God. And our Father is truly magnificent. He is truly amazing. Amazing. Then the soldiers led him away into the hall called Perpetuarian, and they called together the whole garrison, and they clothed him with purple. Purple is royalty. Maybe they didn't know that they were clothing him with purple. I mean, they knew, but they didn't know that the color purple was for royalty. They twisted the crown of thorns, put it on his head, that began to soothe him. Hail, King of the Jews. Then they struck him on the head with a reed, and this is something I find filthy. They spat on him and bowed the knee. They worshiped him. They were mocking him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. King of the Jews, our Lord and Savior. Then they compelled a certain man, Simeon, a Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country, passing by to bear his cross. They brought him to the place of Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. Then they gave him wine. You know, they did so much evil wine mixed with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. I mean, he died in shame. He died a horrible death just for us to be saved. But when he comes back, he's coming back in glory. I mean, he's coming back riding on that white horse. He's coming back to pick up his people, his saints, his children. He's coming back in glory. And even the people that crucified him, they'll see him too. I mean, God is just good. God's ways are higher than our ways. He's just a good God. Life lesson, Mark 15:19. They struck him on the head with a reed, spat on him, and bowing the knee, they worshiped him, mocking him. My Lord, how hard it would have been to take the brutality and cruel mocking, knowing that with a word, Jesus could have summoned more than 12 legions of furious angels. He could have. Yet he bore it for our sake. He took all of that for us. And see, God is just good. He's just good. Jesus could have got down from the cross, but he didn't. And one man said, Lord, remember thou me. He said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. I mean, he knew exactly where he was going. He knew exactly what he was doing. He gave his life, and he didn't have to. He didn't have to. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was praying to God, he said, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? And God forsaken him because God could not look upon sin. That body, that earthly body, that body didn't want to die. He said, if you can, and he said it three times, if you can, take this cup away from me. Take it away, take it away, take it away. He said, but not my will. Thy will be done. Right now, when we die, we don't have to be afraid because God has taken the stain out of death. Death won't hurt. It's just like, I believe, like going to sleep and waking up with God. Absence from the body is presence with the Lord. Death do not hurt. It won't hurt because God took the stain out of death. Death used to hurt until God took the stain out of it. God is just good. Life lesson, an ordinary tree, an extraordinary Savior. Of all the things that God could have used to bring about his awesome plan for humanity, chose to use a tree. were so many ways Jesus could have been executed. The Romans certainly never ran out of terrible ways to hasten a person's death. Jesus could have been pierced with a bow and arrow, stoned to death. He could have suffocated, decapitated, or burned. My God. As with many others in the early church, Jesus could have even been killed quickly with a sword or a javelin. Why do you suppose that God's plan, including having Jesus nailed to a tree? What kind of tree could it have been? First dropped to the ground, did God notice it? Did he watch it sprout and grow knowing that it was to be the tree? Was his eye on it all those years while it was climbing skyward and gaining strength? When it was cut down in assembly, did he take special care to guide the hands of the carpenter? And when God first saw it in its final form as the cross, did he weep because of what his son would endure? Why do you suppose God planted Christ to be nailed to a tree? Trees are so common. Depending on where you live, you can probably take a short trip and see hundreds of trees. Trees are familiar to every country and culture. More than 100,000 types of trees throughout the world. There is nothing that's unique about them, nothing that's special. Yet, that also the way that Christ was described in Isaiah 53:2. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or commonness. When we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. The reason people were crucified was to show their lowly state, their disgraced position in society. Crucifixion was the most humiliating, excusulating form of execution, disfigured and disrobed. Disfigured, disfigured and disrobed. Jesus was killed publicly so that there be no question that he'd been put to death. It said disfigured and disrobed. A lot of times when you see the cross or his private parts, you see something cover him. But it said disfigured and disrobed. Deuteronomy 21:22-23 tells us, if a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he's put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, for he who is hanged is a curse of God. Above Savior of God? Yet that is what Jesus came to do. He came to remove the curse of our sin from us, came to lay down his life on a common, ordinary tree, to pay our sin debt. 1 Peter 2:24 testified that he himself bore our sin in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For those who are lost, it may be just another run-of-the-mill tree, but for believers, it is the tree. For us, it is the tree of life, eternal life, because it was the means by which our wonderful Lord Jesus provided for our salvation. God did the extraordinary thought, the ordinary. Perhaps you are feeling somewhat average today. Maybe you wonder if anyone even noticed what makes you special. Take heart, that God delights in using the common, mundane things of the world to show his immense power and goodness. See 2 Corinthians 4:7. Yet in order for God to work through you mightily, you must give yourself to him fully. Always remember that the power, wisdom, creativity, and beauty you exhibit, they're from God. They do not originate from within you. That's why you must allow him to shine through you, bearing his image, even as the tree bore Christ. Friend, if you can use a tree to provide us with eternal life, what could he do through your mind, gifts, talents, and skills? There's really only one way to find out. You must fully fully surrender yourself to him? Are you willing? Are you willing to fully surrender yourself to God so God can use you? Like I say, all them singing talents and all them things that you do and can do, if you are a carpenter and can do this and can do that, it comes from God. It didn't originate inside of you. It came from God. So I am grateful. I am thankful. I love to read, that came from God. I love to emphasize the word, that came from God. Anything that you can do, anything that you can do. I mean, even when you walk, when you talk, it comes from God. We are made in the very image of our Father. Whether you choose to walk in his ways or he don't force you to walk in his ways, but you can. You can choose to do good rather than choose. You make a quality choice. You can choose to do good or you can choose to do evil. You can choose to do bad. You can. God lets you choose how your life is going to turn out. You can go to heaven or you can go to hell. You make the choice. And don't sit up there and blame God for it when judgment day comes. I wish I had did that. No. You making quality choice every day of your life. And when you die, you preach your own funeral. Nobody have to say good things about you if you did good. You're preaching your own funeral each day that you walk, each day that you talk. You're preaching your own funeral. Like I told Pastor Bridget, I gave her a card for her birthday, and I told her, daughter, you turn out just the way I thought that you would. You have goodness, you're generous, you're kind, you're patient, you're loving, you're thoughtful. I said, Pastor Bridget, you remind me of someone. I said, Jesus, you remind me of Jesus. She has all the fruit of the Spirit. If you be around her, she is so caring, she's so thoughtful, and she's loving, she's giving, and I guess it just touched her heart because it's true if you be around her. She's always saying nice things about people. I think she loved people just the way our Lord loved people. Her birthday was on the 14th of March, and then her son, his birthday was on the 14th. They were born on the same day. I said, God is just a loving, thoughtful God. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget.
Amen. I just got a notice just a few minutes ago that Sandra Crouch, the sister of Andre Crouch, passed away on yesterday. She's the one that says, yes, Lord, yes, was one of her favorite, her signature songs. So we ask God to watch over the Crouch family, and may she rest in peace. She was just amazing. She won a Grammys Award in 1984 for Best Soul Gospel Performance by a Female for We Sing Praises. She was just amazing. And so, again, condolences to the Crouch family for the loss of Sandra Crouch, because we know that Andre Crouch passed away, I believe it was a couple of years ago, and I just thought that he was amazing as well. He died at 72 from a heart attack. And so, you know, it's like, wow, you know, when God calls us home, you know, what is your legacy, his mother was saying. And, you know, one thing we can say for the Crouch family, they gave us some great songs and great music. You know, I will always remember Soon and Very Soon was an Andre Crouch song. And I just am very saddened to hear, but I also rejoice. For we know that absent from the body is in the presence of the Lord. So, again, condolences. So many have lost lives in this year alone that all we can do is know that it is for a purpose and a reason. As we know, our love, Mother Rita, passed away on Valentine's Day, as that world would call it. but we call it Love Day. And I always say that she passed away on Love Day because God loved her best. And as we go into our word from Sister Carolyn this morning, the word that she gave us on yesterday, Sister Carolyn was a little under the weather. So I'm going to, and so we got it a little late than normal. And it was, good morning. Through wisdom, a house is built. And by understanding, it is established. And that's Proverbs 24:3. And as for today, again, Sister Carolyn was having some Pastor Bridget time because God wakes me up sometimes in the middle of the night with something that I need to do. And he woke her up at 2:06 this morning. And I have to say, I did not wake up. I was sleeping real good. I didn't wake up until probably about an hour and a half after that. But it says, good morning. Don't let anyone set you off today. Come on now. Be at peace and remember, God is on your side. And I like to say to Sister Carolyn, it is as you say, God is on our side. And again, don't let anyone set you off today. Be at peace. Remember, God is on your side. Have a mellow mind Monday. And we say to Sister Carolyn, as Jesus said to Pontius Pilate, it is as you say. We want to have a is as you say, God, today. We got to know that whatever God says, it is as he says. Don't let anybody knock you off your square today. Keep walking in the wisdom and in the love of God. But it is God that woke you up. It is God that will put you to peaceful sleep. Trust God. Believe in God. And know that he sent his son to go through all the things Mother Valerie read this morning. Not for himself, but for us. Because Jesus could have stayed right in heaven, sitting on the right hand of his Father, interceding from there. But instead, he came to be the sacrificial, one and only lamb, that we don't have to find an unblemished anything. All we have to do is hit our knees, go on your knees, taking it to the throne and not to the phone. For the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. And that is all we have this morning. If there is anyone who has a word this morning that God has put on your heart to speak, again, our call-in number for those that listen on social media is 213-943-3597. You can call us anytime. We are here daily, Sunday through Friday, at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. If you need a word from the Lord and just want to hear a word of the Lord, call us, text us, tune in on social media, and we will be here. Unfortunately, I will not be here on tomorrow. Mother Valerie will be going forth with our psalm and proverb and Mark, and then I will be back on Wednesday with our numbers word. So, and it may be Mother Valerie may be doing the whole entire show. Because I am doing my civic duty on tomorrow. I am working an election. So I will be at my polling place doing what I am supposed to do, which is to work as an election judge. So I will be working as an election judge in the state of Illinois on tomorrow, but we will not have a show. I will be working with Mother Valerie that we still go forth and that you still get a word from the Lord on tomorrow. So I appreciate this awesome woman of God. She is my heart. And I just thank God for her. I do believe that God knows what you need when you need it. And so I can do nothing more than say, thank you, Lord, for this woman of God who keeps it real. Hallelujah. And she does tell me when I am not doing something right. And I have no problem with constructive criticism. And sometimes you need to have someone that will say, ah, that ain't right now. You know, you need to step back. And so I appreciate the mother love that Mother Valerie has shown me. And many who have been in her presence know that she loves the Lord. So I thank God for all of you this morning. Thank you, Mother Valerie. I will be calling you to go over tomorrow, and I will be listening in, but I will not be participating on tomorrow.
Amen.
I'll be back on Wednesday. So Mother Valerie will be going forth on tomorrow, and I know that she has got a word from the Lord for you. So thanking God for you. Again, please join Mother Valerie. Give her your support as she goes forth. Again, I will be programming from a distance, and we will start promptly at 7. And I will be doing what I do. I'll just be doing it remotely, and I'll be doing it for Mother Valerie. I will be her board person, but she will be going forth. So I thank you. I praise God for you. Again, there is no one that has a word this morning. So Mother Valerie, we're a little early, but it's all right. We're going to do what God
says. You know what?
Do. And I'll, yes, ma'am.
I wonder if somebody spit in my face right now, what would I do?
Oh, God.
I mean, I find that to be the most filthiest thing in the world, somebody spit in your face. And I also wonder, why did our Lord and Savior have to go through so much? I mean, they beat him 39 times. They whooped him. They spat in his face.
Stripped him.
They mocked
of his clothes.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but why did he have to go through so much? Why couldn't he just be crucified? I know God's ways are higher than our ways, but that body. That body went through so much pain.
Yes.
I mean, would you give one of your children for another child's life? I wouldn't. I'll say it right away. No. I have one daughter,
no.
And I'm not going to give her up to spare somebody else's life. I wouldn't do it. I know I wouldn't do it. And then
somebody
I just wonder.
A sinful life, let's call it that way, a sinful. You know, you got to remember, they gave Jesus up to die for Barabbas, a criminal, an insurrectionist, a killer. Come on now. And he gave his life for him is what we want to say. But we understand that it was for sin so that, again, we don't have to have a field full of unblemished rams and goats and a pen of doves. And, you know, we don't have to have all of that stuff. Because Jesus paid the ultimate price. And even, you know, the Jews of that day, they obviously knew he was because they even quit doing sacrifices. Come on now. You don't go, if you go to Jerusalem, you don't see lambs and all of that stuff running around and pens of unblemished this and that and sin offerings. No, they don't do it either. So obviously they knew what was going on, because they don't do it anymore. Does
Amen.
They? Come on now.
Amen.
You know, it is as you say. God said, you know, that what he would do, that he would send his son. You know, he told the prophets back in the day that by his stripes we are healed. You know, we got to remember that. You know, Isaiah 53, that Jesus paid it all for us. And he did not have to. He didn't want to, I'm sure, because how many times did he pray in the garden, take this cup from me? And then he said, your will.
My will.
And we got to remember, it's God's will, whatever we go through. It's God's will. But just imagine, he died to go to hell to get the keys to the kingdom. Keep saying out of the out from going up and back and forth. Now all he can do is walk to and fro around this world, creating havoc. Yes, he does. but he can't go back to heaven. He's done.
Mm-hmm.
And the angels that did the dirt, they are all chained up.
Amen.
God didn't play. Everything that God does is for a purpose and a reason. Jesus shed his blood as a sin offering for us. And he doesn't ask much of us. He doesn't ask much of us as the people of God. You know, and God, what did he tell us? You know, as we go into the word of God, I posted this on my wall this morning when I was advertising and putting in the show information. And what God gave me this morning early was this. And it says, sometimes the answer to a question is simple. It is, as you say, after being beaten, spat upon, vilified, and victimized. When asked a simple question, Jesus gave a simple answer. He didn't need a drawn-out explanation of his identity because he is our Savior whose light still shines. He shines in us also as long as we remember the word of the Lord, the word the Lord has given us. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And that's 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 from the New King James Version. We have got to remember, we got to humble ourselves. We got to seek the face of God. We got to turn from wickedness. And we see it every day, and some things should just grate on your spirit. People just lie for lies' sake. Folks falling into idolatry and idol worship because they don't know any better. And as we do on this blog, we speak the truth. There is only one God. He is Jehovah. There is one Savior. We call him Jesus, but we know his name is Yeshua. We know who we belong to. We don't worship politicians. We don't worship singers. We don't worship shows and stars. We don't worship man. We worship the Father and the Son. And that is why the Father placed the Holy Spirit within us, that we may speak to him. Nobody hears what you speak but God. That's why we speak to God in our silent language. That's why we speak to God in our closet, in our space that belongs to him. We got to pray up and believe that all things are possible through the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Trust God, Mother. Believe. It is as you say. When we read the word of God, it is what it says. Hallelujah. Thanking God for all of you. Our time is up, and I got to go to work. So thank you so very much, family, for listening to Mother Valerie and I. Please come and support Mother Valerie tomorrow as she goes forth in the word of God. Thank you so much. God bless you. God keep you. God make his face to shine upon you. And as we pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. We pray this over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And keep moving forward with us. Have a great day, family. It is a wrap. It's a wrap, Mother.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap.
Thank you, Rita. It's a wrap.
A wrap.